digging my grave. I'm digging my grave. Tomorrow the hell is surely paid with all the love that I never gave. Well, I'm digging my grave. Oh, I'm digging my grave. And the hole is made with a pick and a spade.
Still suffering from. We ate at Bojangles in Reading too, which is like fried chicken. We did that two times in one day. They had these things called potato rounds.
Potato rounds?
Because the whole thing was Bojangles, right? So
sort of like Mick, everything at McDonald's.
It was called Bojo. Yeah.
That is so lame. That is so lame.
Move over this way. I don't know if you know this, Sean, but I feel as though I can confess this to you.
You can.
I have a phobia of public toilets.
Yeah, he does.
That El Ducerino doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I understand. I totally.
That's my dude.
Yeah.
But I was in Reading.
Hey, can
way
we get
far away?
Hey, yeah.
Hey.
I pooed in the hotel like three times after Bojangles twice that day.
Did I happen to mention that we already started recording?
Oh.
So I have all of this.
Well, awesome.
I'm fine with it.
Awesome.
Bojangles for life or death.
Okay, so you want to get started?
Yes. My name is Joshua Alvarez.
My name is Liam O'Donnell.
And welcome to episode 13 of Cinepunks.
I like that you've become our official record keeper.
It's my
no idea what number it is.
It's my weird number thing in my head.
Now, episode 13 is a bad luck number.
Yeah, it's auspicious number,
it's,
for
it's,
sure.
It's creepy, which is why we have one of the most bad luck dudes I know. That's not true at all. We have my good friend, Sean Bennis.
And well-dressed friend.
Bennis Sign. Say hello, Sean.
Hello, everyone.
So, Sean is a writer for Synapse. You ever read the website that I write for? Josh has written for once or twice. Is this episode called Synapse.co. Sean's a writer
episode,
for that.
You mean the website?
Oh, did I say episode?
Yeah, we can go
it's
back
a
and
website.
Check it.
It's a website. It's a website called Synapse, and Sean is a regular writer for them. I also have known show. I know he's semi-regular.
Semi-regular.
He's written more than you have. How's that sound, audience? Does that sound good?
Oh, I thought that was directed at me.
No,
it's directed at directed at our entire non-Synapse audience.
Yeah. Hello. If you're not Ed Travis, Sean has written more than you. Or Jacob Knight, I guess. He's written a lot, too.
Or so Austin Bashaw.
Sean's also been going to shows for a long time, less recently because he procreated, which was ill-chosen. But he procreated. But before that, he used to go to shows. He's been going to shows since the suburbs were the mecca of Christian punk. Isn't that right, Sean?
Yep.
Sean, if those of you from Philly area might remember a little band called Speedy Delivery.
Oh, yeah.
And you might have seen a mutant kid helping them load things in.
That was me.
Monster of
no
a mutant
shit.
Child.
Did you play Sean. In a band as well? Or
no, I just drove half their equipment to most of their shows.
So you're an appreciator of the Christian punk rock?
Yeah, yeah. There were actually Speedy Delivery shows that I made money at.
Right.
Yeah.
No shit.
Is that really true?
They yes, at least two. No, like they would give me some of the money for the gas, and it was more than I actually spent on the gas because I drove their entire drum set.
Really?
And one of their band members.
Did you have a large car?
I had a Mazda 626 86, great trunk.
Okay. Let's clarify something here, Sean. I was in a fucking band in which I performed, and I've never made any money.
Yeah,
we made two CDs, and I haven't gotten $1 in my pocket.
I've been in bands that have been on two separate labels in my time, and not once. I've even toured. Not once have I seen one red
I will. We toured with Me Without You, and I ate out of the trash. All right? That's how that went.
I will say that this is clearly a selective memory thing, and all told, I lost money, but there were two. But I didn't expect
there
to get money because I was
in
part in. Of the band. I just drove to the show.
That
and the fact that I drove some of the band members and had their bass or the bass drum or their cymbals or whatever. Or that I was the one that had to deal with Cliffy Pennington in my car for, right. like, 2 hours.
Were they a good band?
Speed Delivery, my memory is that I liked them. I have been hesitant to revisit.
You know, when they're your friends, it's harder to be like, wait, you guys suck.
It's not just they're my friends. It was also kind of the height of everyone wanting to be Goaty Hook. And they clearly were not. And they were a little bit on the heavier side. And I appreciated that.
I would say faster punks. They weren't heavy.
No, they weren't heavy. They were definitely like faster and not poppy.
Did they play with Step Ahead?
Yes. Okay. Yes, they played with Step Ahead.
There you go.
Who didn't play with Step Ahead?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
One of my favorite Step Ahead shows, I remember they played with Discount.
Oh, yeah?
They played with Discount and Dillinger 4 at the Stalag. So, that was amazing. Oh, and Kid Dynamite was the headliner.
So today we're going to be talking with Sean about a few things, including Guardians of the Galaxy. Woo-hoo! Before that, I wanted to say, we did that This is Hardcore episode.
We did.
We want to thank everyone who was on that, including... It was great having Josh out there because Josh didn't know anyone was in a band.
I had no idea.
No, not at all.
Yeah. He interviewed
several members of Code Orange Kids.
Yeah, he interviewed the dude from Code Orange Kids.
No, at least two.
Joe is a good dude. I met him. So I've known those guys for a little while, but I didn't actually know any of their names. So right, I kind of got to know their names. You interviewed the singer from Incendiary. I don't even know what that guy looks like.
He was very nice.
He was very nice.
He was very nice.
You interviewed Wally, who you described as a Mexican who was going to eat you. He's a big dude.
He had a Pantera shirt on. That's the guy, right? With the Pantera shirt?
I don't know. He's missing teeth.
Yeah.
And he's huge. He lifts a lot of weights from rotting out.
He definitely was wearing a Pantera shirt, and I guess my internal compass always points to terror when I see Pantera t-shirts, and that's something that's been cultivated.
That's usually Hessians. Jeff Ziga owns Pantera shirts.
Jesse Deal owns Pantera shirts. Are you scared of Jesse Deal?
You know that. Who's Jesse Deal?
Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Right. Hi, Jesse Deal. But, no, man, Pantera shirts when I was growing up in high school always meant, like, wedgies and fucking pot.
Well, because of Hessians.
I don't know who they were.
But white dude from Rotting Out is not white.
Angry,
not a Hessian.
Angry dudes who disliked me in high school love Pantera.
And he lifts weights. He's into weightlifting.
He was terrifying. But he was such... He was the guy
who... He's a nice guy.
Dude, he was the sweetest dude. I wanted to tweet to him.
You should.
Because of in the recent passing of Robin Williams, respect, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
his
favorite movie was Hook, and I want to be like,
oh, he was one of the ones that named Hook.
Yeah. So I was like, yo, dog, hope you're all right.
Consolations,
man,
for real.
Love.
Yeah. I do have to confess.
If you're listening to this, seriously, consolations on that.
I do have to confess, I was that guy. I was listening to that episode on the way here and on the way to work today.
Really?
I'm not done it yet. Because it's a very long episode.
It's a good episode.
It's an hour and 40 minutes.
Well, I know.
I wanted to say up front, thanks everybody. From that, we got a bunch more followers.
Yeah.
A lot of people listened to it. We had our most listens. The day we posted that, we had something like 400 downloads. Which in the realm of podcasts is like minimal.
It's like nothing. Yeah, it's like
but for us, we're like, oh my God!
Holy shit!
400! Oh my God!
400 different people!
Oh,
maybe.
I got a boner!
And I know at least 3 to 4 of them are mine. Like, that download, not boner. I have to specify.
I also think, you know, we still don't have any sponsors, but there are a number of businesses. We made a poster. You might have seen them at This Is Hardcore. So big thanks, I think, This Is Hardcore for letting us put posters everywhere.
And Evan Villela.
Yeah, Evan Villela for making a beautiful poster. But a few businesses also let us put them up, so I want to specifically mention them. Little Baby's Ice Cream, I work there. They make great ice cream.
Yes.
If you like ice cream, you should go. Even if you're a vegan.
Yeah, the vegan ice cream selection is quite delectable.
Sean Benassine, you're a vegan.
Yes.
Are you really?
Yeah,
yes, man.
Why are you saying it like that?
I didn't know, dude.
You said it like he just admitted to fucking dead people.
I thought he was a skinhead 2 minutes ago, and now he's calling me vegan.
He's a vegan with a working class tattoo.
Stand? I just don't get it. Sean.
Sean, how does their vegan ice cream stand as a vegan?
In a metaphor.
It's the best I've ever had.
Okay, so there you have endorsement.
The chocolate salt malt, which they have not had at the West Philly store this summer, than when I've gone, which is disappointing.
That's probably my fault.
Yeah, fuck you then.
I bring there. That's what I do once a week. One of the things I do, I bring this stuff.
Okay, so your mission is to bring chocolate salt malt and let me know that you've brought it.
You could just come to World Headquarters, where everything matters,
right near our house, my house.
Yeah, we don't live there together.
Yeah, that's a lot harder to make it from Havertown after Ramona's nap and back before dinner.
That's fair. Back to what I was saying. Also, we want to say thank you to. Creep Records, they put it up. Sit and Spin Records. Sit and Spin Records put it right in the front dang door. It's been there since I gave it to them.
What?
It's like right up. It's like, I mean, I hope they. It's because they think it's cool. It's a cool poster.
When did Creep Records put it up?
I went by and they said they were going to put it up. Why is it not there anymore?
No, just big love to my man Eric.
Yeah, it wasn't Eric. It was just some random dude at the counter.
I don't give a shit. That Eric dude rules.
Yeah, cool. And we like you, Eric.
If you haven't listened to God Damn It, you should. Because
mini story interruption.
Go on.
So, in the essence of vegan ice cream, little babies, hardcore. Several years ago, before Mona's born, we stopped in Syracuse on our way to Canada. Little coffee shop, vegan coffee shop. They had vegan milkshakes. What milkshake did I get? The Earth Crisis, of course. They had a milkshake called Earth Crisis. Which was fucking awesome. Like, it was chocolate and peanut butter.
Oh, I figure it would taste like not honey and anger. Suburbia.
Not honey and anger.
Yeah.
I think those flavors are hard to abide by.
Right.
No, that's fair. Yeah. We just wanted to say thanks to those. We appreciate that support. We have more posters. I've just been busy, so I haven't brought them around to places. But if you're a business and you would like to support CinePunks, and by support I mean put our poster up, you can feel free to let us know.
Yeah.
If you give us free things, we will say nice things about you. Shit, if you just post about us on your Facebook, we'll say nice things about you. That's how that goes.
Unfortunately, our record has been we've said poor things about people who haven't supported us or stuff that we kind of like.
Who would... That's a holy bad pretty yeah, back shit is I just got that funny. Guy to say nice... I just got that guy. Come on. Let's not saying, bring that up again. That we love Holy Mounting Printing.
We do. I just ordered a Leviathan shirt from them.
I did a big post about all the shirts. I have so many shirts...
From
almost
them.
Every cool movie shirt I have, with the exception of that Japanese Inferno shirt from Haunt Love, Post-Kid. Justin Miller, yeah. All right, so Sean, as our guest, we're going to start off our next feature. We always start off talking about things we've seen lately that we thought were cool, whether that was something we rented, we went to a movie, we went to an event, mm-hmm. we went to even a show. Because we do go to show. That's
yeah,
a thing.
Because
that's part of the thing.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's in
yes,
there.
It is.
So Sean, you want to start off? Have you seen anything recently that you
or done anything
that you thought was particularly cool or was particularly bad, and you want to tell us about that too?
So two things: one new that I haven't finished, and one not new. So since the baby was born, the wife is more in a comedy mode. Not so much a bad things happening mode. She's not two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, like, the concept of bad things happening makes her think of bad things happening to Ramona, which makes her not enjoy whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So there are ways of getting around this, like getting her into something. But we decided to watch World's End because she had watched Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And she, before this, had really liked horror movies and really found alien invasion movies kind of scary and also likes British stuff.
She hadn't seen it before.
No, she did not see it. And I had seen it with Liam. It was one of the few movies I saw that year, and I really liked it, and I wanted to revisit it. And Jesse Deal had it, so I borrowed it from him. And since I only see him once every 2 or 3 years, So it's really still held up upon second viewing. It's a lot of fun. It's funny. It's awesome. And it kind of flips the script of the whole Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost thing a little bit.
Yeah.
So she really liked it. So you don't need to have any real affinity for Simon Pegg or Nick Frost to enjoy it, and or affinity for, you know, English Village of the Damned horror alien invasion movies.
Right.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
So the second thing is we have started watching the Fargo TV show. We've only seen the first two episodes, but I'm really on board, and I kind of think Billy Bob Thornton plays Saint in it.
Really?
Yeah. He really just kind of seems like Saint. Like, basically, he talks to you, he finds out who you hate, and he finds out a way to make that person dead.
Oh, wow.
Mostly by killing them.
Right.
Or by having you kill them somehow.
Fair enough.
And it's pretty awesome. And it ties in because one of the leads is, I forget the character's name, but he is in World of the Dead.
Right.
Or World's End.
I see.
Yeah.
Forgive my ignorance on topic, but is Fargo, does it have anything to do with the Coen brothers? Are they directing or anything?
They produce, and it takes place in the same world as Fargo the movie.
Right.
So I don't know what the timeline is. They had literally the same exact intro.
From what I understand, there's a lot of like references in the show to not just Fargo, but all the Coen brothers movies.
No shit. Right?
I have heard that, but again, we've only seen two episodes, so we don't have a ton. We're not an amazing way into it. And what I've heard on other podcasts is people are like, well, it's kind of good. But then around, I forget if it's the third or fourth episode, the hammer just drops and it becomes like fucking awesome.
Right.
And I'm already on board.
I haven't gotten to watch it, but I heard really good things about it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And it is...
Did you like the Fargo movie?
Oh, I love the Fargo movie.
Right.
It is also insanely cinematic in its shooting. Like, the pilot is about 1 hour and 10 minutes, and when it was done, my wife thought we had watched a movie.
Right.
And part of it is because it was 1 hour and 10 or 1 hour and 20 minutes, and part of it is it is not shot like a TV show. It is not like static shots. It is... It is shot very much homaging the Coen brothers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Huh.
Josh.
Yeah.
What have you seen recently that you enjoyed or particularly did enjoy and want to talk about?
Leilani and I have just started watching The Strain.
Oh, that show, The Strain. Yeah,
we're 2 episodes in. I don't really know where they are. I mean, like, we've been watching them on demand. Mm-hmm. But talk about not quite your own TV show, man. That shit is fucking bananas. That first episode had some genuinely chilling and terrifying moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, I like horror movies, and I consider myself, though, jaded. It's like heroin. Like, you do it the one time, and then, you know, not that I've ever done it, so I've heard. You do it the one time, and then every other time you do it after that, you're trying to chase that first high.
Right.
Horror movies are kind of the same thing for me in that.
Understandable.
I remember being fucking freaked out by, like, Maximum Overdrive when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That is the first movie that scared the bejesus out of me.
Hey, dude,
and you know what?
Have got to
I didn't know I entered judgment zone.
Oh, wait.
I thought we were a no judgment.
No, you're right.
I will defend Josh here because the first movie that ever terrified me was Silver Bullet.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, B-list Stephen King movies.
That's right.
I just want to point out I saw Nightmare on Elm Street in 7th grade, so.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, no, it's about me being better than both of you. And
tougher than the both of us, it is true. I believe it. But I would have admitted that anyway. So, odd notion about Maximum Overdrive. You know what the funny thing about that movie is?
What?
That movie is Stephen King's only directorial movie. And the reason that he directed that movie is because Kubrick took The Shining and then did what he did to it. And King was like, well, fuck that. The next movie that gets done is going to be my movie. Mm-hmm. And so he directed Maximum Overdrive. And it was so terrible that he never did it again. Odd.
Smart choice.
Just saying. That movie sucks pretty bad. I've definitely watched it again. I will punch the shit out of a Joker fucking truck. I will punch it in his fucking Joker face. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, The Strain. So, yeah, so this TV show, the first episode was, again, like what you were saying, like about, like, more than an hour long.
Okay.
Like 68 minutes, like something like this.
Right.
And there are some moments, there's a head smashing in there. Sorry, I spoiled it if you haven't seen it. There's a head smashing in there that I was like, what the fuck? This is on TV? Like,
this I've heard it doesn't play games.
It's dude, like a serious... it is real deal. Real deal. So The Strain is what not counting what we're about to talk about for the movie.
Oh, of course.
But, yeah, The Strain was the last thing that is new that I've seen that I was like, holy smokes. And then I got to episode 2, and there's more shit's happening, but I'm hearing it gets crazier after that. So you guys don't watch that show?
I haven't yet. I would like to.
I need to, live. We don't have live TV.
Oh, right.
So we got to pay for stuff. I want to get it. I've been begging the wife to get a TV pass and do it on the Amazon since it came out.
Right.
But we're moving soon. Yeah. Money's tight.
Yeah.
I want other things too. You know, like it's just hard to spend the money. Yeah. But
you're always welcome to my house, Liam.
I know. But me and Melanie
both love you.
Aww.
You know that pumpkin. Come on now.
But yeah, but, I've been wanting to watch it. I hear nothing but good things.
It is unbelievable. So I saw that, and one thing that I did recently is I was just telling these gentlemen that I spent this past Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Reading, Pennsylvania, sunny Reading, at the Pagoda City Tattoo Convention with Mr. David Steele and Mr. Troy David Satters of Chinatown Eddie's Tattoo.
Is that your shop? Is that where you get your work done?
Well, at this point, Troy is my main man in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So whenever I get tattooed, I only get tattooed by Troy.
Wow.
Because he is my man. He's the one who did my Hattori Hanzo sword going through the rat's head and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, I want to see that one.
Oh, yeah. I got it because we thought that Tarantino might be at the screening of the Kill Bill. So I wanted him. Tarantino tattoo. Just be like, bro, your movie rules. I mean, like, to be fair, I love Kill Bill.
Kill Bill's awesome.
But it is funny that you got it for an event.
Even funnier is that I caught pneumonia and missed the event.
You didn't even go?
No.
I was going to ask because I didn't see you.
I died. Yeah, I thought I was going to die. I was in the hospital laid up.
That sucks.
Yeah.
This is a bad story.
It's a funny story, though, because now, funny. I mean, I still have the tattoo.
Yeah. So you went to the... Why is it called Pagoda City?
There's a big pagoda in Reading that I haven't managed to go to the Googles to figure out why it's there, but it's there. And Troy was... Well, Evan was telling us that the last time he was up there, he... it was gated off because someone had dumped a body there. Yeah. That happened, and then Troy was telling me, like, yeah, you know.
They dumped a body.
In the mountains at a pagoda.
Was it a dead body?
Yes! Dead body. I don't know. Sounded brutal. But, yeah, so I was there with Troy and Dave, And we hung out, and they did a lot of tattoos, and it was really fun. But most of the fun was that Troy himself...
I just want to interrupt really quick. Sean is currently sucking on a lollipop. It literally sounds like, on the recording, like Sean is blowing like a porcelain something or other. Like that he has a porcelain, like something in his mouth. You can just hear the sloppering and the teeth clicking. And like, I didn't have that. So here's the thing. You can probably hear right now that I'm speaking at a faster pace. You know, like that's how you I talk normally. But then as soon as I put the headphones on, I start talking slower.
Oh, that's weird technical talk.
No, the reason is because that with the headphones, it's a delay. So I hear myself, and then I'm hearing myself in the headphones on delay, which I hear our friend Carp, who did this whole tutorial with us, told us, you get used to it. Just that's how it is. You get used to it. I can't fucking handle it, man. It drives me crazy. So, like, when I hear my voice, I'm just like, and the thing. Like, I get ridiculous. So, anyways, I just want to jump on. I finally put the headphones on, and I saw and I heard the robotic blowjob noises that Sean was making. And so I just wanted to say, Sean, when you are filleting the lollipop... I thought the nachos last episode with Dan was going to be a problem.
That was good.
But now the lollipops are a much bigger issue.
Funnier problem. Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
So you, okay, so.
So
Pagoda.
Here's
dead
the thing.
Body.
Here's the thing.
Did you get a tattoo?
No, I didn't, because I like swimming. And it is the beginning of August, and I would like to continue swimming until I can't swim anymore. But the funny thing is, so the convention was Pagoda City.
Right.
Justin Weatherholtz is the invitational dude. Like, he invited everybody. And it was a small convention, so it was only, like, 90 artists.
Right.
But they're all, like, amazing artists. All, like, you know, a lot of, like, really big deal names in the game.
Yeah.
But, again, I was like, I'm not getting tattooed because I like swimming. Whatever, whatever. The funny thing is that the weirder people were outside of the tattoo convention in Reading. And not inside the convention. Now,
because Reading is home to Freakazoids.
Holy Moses! Unbelievable! And Troy is from Reading. So,
have you ever been to East Coast Tsunami Fest, speaking of Freakazoids?
No, I have not.
It's sort of like a hardcore gathering of the Juggalos.
No.
Just in the sense of, like, it's and I feel bad, because we probably have listeners who are from Reading, so I kind of feel bad for a second.
I'm not...
But let's just say, there's interesting characters in Reading.
I'm not knocking Reading as a whole.
Yeah.
I will say that you feel weird... Walking around Reading, we were at a diner. We were at Speedy's Dinette for breakfast.
Right.
It was me and Dave and Troy and King Ron from Syracuse.
Okay.
He tattoos with DJ Rose and all those guys.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So we were there, and three people walked in with a banjo and a guitar and just started singing standing right behind us. It's fine, I guess, if that's a thing. But the lady who was our waitress was like, you guys got off easy. They only played one song. Most times they stay here for a long time. Second, when you're the only minority in an entire restaurant and someone starts playing banjos, it's fucking scary. It is fucking terrifying. Because Troy was like, why are you sweating? And rather than my typical answer of, oh, that's just what I do, I was like, the fucking banjos, bro. So yeah, so I did that.
I do think... white people don't understand how some of that country-ass shit is real scary. Because here's the thing, don't get me wrong, I fully recognize that white people can act a fool anywhere.
Right.
But right. As people of color,
uh-huh.
the tree density, the proximity to countrified places...
It's a different... I mean,
it makes you feel like more crazy shit could happen to you than in other places, which is not true. You could be at the Cherry Hill Mall and have some... you know, person go off and do all kinds of crazy white folk shit.
Yeah, it's true.
But in our minds, it's worse the more country it is.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You think,
I would
like,
totally agree.
Oh, you're going to drag me in the woods and bad things. And
I will say this, though. I want to give a big up to my man Evan, my man Clint, and my man Steven for hanging tough with a brother.
Steven Welch?
Yes. Hanging tough with a brother on the Saturday of the convention.
Sweet.
And it was good getting a chance to chill with those dudes.
Yeah,
so, those are some of my favorite white peoples.
They said they had fun hanging out with you.
Cool.
Stephen Welch is one of the most charming men in the world.
He's a handsome guy.
Clint
handsome
is very
guy.
Intelligent.
Yes, also
Evan,
handsome
Evan
guy.
Has a number of tattoos.
Handsome dude. All handsome guys.
Okay.
All right. I want us to get into our conversation, so I won't take up too much time.
Oh, yeah. What did you see?
So I wanted to mention two things. We do occasionally go to shows. And I actually go to a lot of shows. We had fun at this hardcore or whatever. But recently, I went to see my boys in that band Limits. If you've ever checked out Limits, they're like a straight edge, power violence, noisy sort of band.
When you say straight edge power violence, what does that sound like to you? Is it like Acrid?
Oh, I don't know. I've never listened to Acrid.
You've never listened to Acrid?
No, man.
Man, 86 to Death, I think, was the name of the record. Fucking straight edge power violence when like bands like MK Ultra and like Crew.
I mean, I think this band was. I think Limits has a little bit more of like it's like power violence, but then there's also some like cursed feel to it. Mm. There's a lot of weird noisy stuff. They do a lot of like noise between songs, whatever. Mm. I like them. I like the dudes, Mikey Smack, Nino.
Is that
drummer dude? I forget his name. Oh, man, that's bad.
Oh,
I feel bad.
Yeah, thank God we know how to edit now.
I'm so not going to edit that. Anyways, point is, they played a house show. Also at the house show were two bands that were on tour that I never heard of. One was a band called Gator King from Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I would recommend checking them out. They're kind of standardy hardcore, but I kind of liked them. They were fun. But then this other band played called Wasted Blood from Cleveland. Wasted Blood, I don't know how to describe it. It's like real heavy hardcore, almost Zabalba-ish. But a little bit more on the noisy side. Mm-hmm. They were good. They were just heavy and good. Stephen Welch was like, I saw them play. You know, it was their first tour ever. They're all in high school, these kids.
Whoa.
Yeah, young high school dudes. And Stephen Welch saw them play in a basement and, like, moshed in the basement. So I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And they were really good. I was really impressed. So I just, you know, it's not often I see a new band and actually appreciate them. So I just wanted to say that. Wasted Blood, if you had a chance, check that shit out. Steven said all their recordings are bad. So, but they're going to be recording soon with Weekend Nachos. One of the guys from Weekend Nachos is going to be recording them. So hopefully when that comes out, you should cop it. If you get a chance to see them live, they're really good.
I forgot to mention something.
Go ahead.
I did see two bands that I've never seen before recently.
Okay.
The first band was a little band from England you might know by the name of Def Leppard.
Oh, you're talk about the Kiss Def Leppard.
Oh my God, I went to see Kiss and Def Leppard.
Oh God.
Look, here's the thing. I am hardcore all day. That's my shit.
No, I got it. Yeah, sure.
You got to see Kiss once. You got to.
There are a lot of bands I got to see once, and Kiss is not on that list.
Listen.
Yeah, I'm with Liam on this one. Well,
Gene Simmons blew fire. Now, I've seen it in Detroit Rock City. That's the only reason I have any appreciation for Kiss at all, because of that fucking movie. I saw that shit live. He blew fire off of a sword. It was unbelievable. And then he spit blood out of his big-ass tongued mouth.
Listen.
And then...
Listen.
Paul Stanley flew out over the crowd onto a podium under a disco ball in the middle of the crowd and started playing, and he dances like Prince.
Okay, the flying out of the crowd thing is kind of cool. Spitting blood... Inga Dagger spits blood. I don't care about that. And blowing fire. We had a fire blower for my shitty-ass band playing at a church thing. My boy Ben used to come out and blow fire while we played. It was crazy. We almost burnt this church down. We played in a church. It wasn't like a Jesus show. It just happened. That was the only venue available. And dude was blowing fire. And I was like, yo, this guy's going to kill us for blowing fire in his church. But then, during our set, some dude moshed a whole fucking wall out.
Wow.
Like, you ever see the cartoon where someone runs through a wall, there's a man-shaped hole in the wall? That's literally Chris Brickhouse, the guy who runs StairKiller.com, moshed a man-sized hole into a wall. So then when I was after, I was like, yeah, sorry about the fire. Dude's like, that's not as bad as the hole, so I guess that was fine. But yeah,
where was this show? Fire.
This is in Narberth.
Was I at the show? Wow. I either know the story well enough that I think I was there, or I was there. One or the other.
Yeah, we had a fire.
That's amazing. The funniest fire scenario I saw. Put it out there.
Yeah.
Is one of the first times I saw World Inferno, Friendship
Society. Oh, yeah.
When they played at the 40-40, and that Jack guy blew fire, and he set the PA on fire. Remember that?
That
shit was ridiculous.
Hey, Boyhood. I went and saw that movie Boyhood.
Oh, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. And a lot of people throw around this term masterpiece. I think that's a bummer. I think even if you loved a movie and you thought it was amazing, I think you do have to cut back on the hyperbole language just a little bit, just because it bums people out and they go in with too big of expectations. Granted, that's like a little bit of a knee-jerk response, and maybe I need to think that out. Mm. And maybe you really didn't think it was like a masterpiece, but like people were like using a lot of big language for this movie, and I don't think it makes that much sense. On the other hand, I also read reviews that were like, it's boring, it's stupid, whatever. That's not true at all. I loved it. I loved it. But I don't know that the groundbreaking aspect of it is something that's a little bit gimmicky in that it's 12 years.
Which is same why dude I for 12 years. It. Yeah.
But
that was why I refused to see it. Because
No. It was good. It's good. Yeah. He does a good...
Do you like Linklater, though? Do you like that guy?
I do like Linklater, yeah.
So you like Waking Life and like you like
I like Waking Slacker Life. And all I like that. Slacker.
See, I just like the... What do you...
What about Before Sunrise, After Sunset? Nope. You don't like any of those movies?
Wow. Those movies
the
right
fuck
in
is
ear.
Wrong with you?
I hate that shit. If it means I have no heart, then that's what it means. But fuck Ethan Hawke. And fuck all that shit.
Yes,
fuck Ethan Hawke. Fuck Ethan Hawke.
What about The Purge?
Oh, yeah. Really, fuck Ethan Hawke. Man, holy shit, that movie.
Yo, wait, let's...
But, you know, okay, sorry, if you fuck Ethan Hawke, really? He'll probably eat you. Haven't
why
you seen Alive?
I don't give a shit about... You know why I give... why I just, like... I'm gonna say it. Reality Bites.
You don't like Reality Bites.
Fuck that movie. God, did I say enough Fs before that?
Fuck no.
Fuck that movie.
Yeah. I will say I actually haven't seen the Before movies, but I do like Richard Linklater.
Do you?
I have enjoyed Waking Life, Slacker, Bernie.
Bernie was great.
And I don't like Jack Black.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I really like Bernie.
I think of Jack Black as a one-trick pony. So, like,
yeah.
The trick's funny, but, like, pretty much I needed the Tenacious D show and maybe two movies before it was like, all right, I'm done.
Did you, like, pick a Destiny?
No.
No.
I didn't think it was that great. Yeah. I really liked the show. I think the first album is okay. Mm-hmm. Then after that, I'm done. I even went to go see them recently, and
it's
like,
fun?
No, it's not fun at all. It's really fucking boring. Mm.
What?
Yeah, basically, ever since that Record Store movie with John Cusack, I've been done with Jack Black.
You didn't like High Fidelity?
That was the movie I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was fine. Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. And then they made entire movies out of that same character.
But again,
I was like, no,
he's
I don't
good
need
at
this.
Bernie. I find.
Yeah.
I like,
oh, yeah.
I thought Bernie
oh,
was
no,
great.
He was really good
I'm
at
sure
Bernie.
He could be used. Let's put it this way. You could probably use Jack Black in other ways than he's been used.
Yes.
But everyone just is like, we'll get Jack Black. And he just, well, and I say everyone. This is a phenomenon like 6 years ago. When's the last time you saw Jack Black do the Jack Black,
Black
thing? Really?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
When
terrible Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah, it's like we're complaining about Interpol right now. It's like, who cares anymore? It's not a real thing. Somebody the other day was like, Interpol's my favorite band. I was like, what's it like in 2003, man? How's it going back then?
Big up to Richie Rojas, who went on tour with Interpol. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he did.
And the whole plan was to see Interpol wearing sweatpants and a hat. And he never saw it.
No. Okay, wow. So back to what we were saying. I do like Linklater. I thought Boyhood was great. You don't like Linklater. We'll have to do a whole episode where we talk about Linklater a little bit. Maybe not a whole episode, but a section.
I think we should do an episode, and this is probably not the good time to discuss it, but about shit that we don't like, because I think that would be really...
Or no, shit that one of you likes and one of you doesn't.
That's really...
Well, but we could do two. It could be a two-sided episode. Like,
okay.
My half is the Linklater.
Maybe Sean Bernstein would like to come on that show.
Oh, I would love to come on every show.
We'll
I wouldn't
see
care.
What he does. We don't know how he's going to do. We need to do a performance.
I would like to someday have friend of the podcast status.
We need to do friend of the cast.
Yeah, that and $1.50 will get you a small cup of coffee at Wawa. Right?
Yeah, that's true. You can put it on your LinkedIn profile. Regular guest on Cinepunks.
I need to update my Twitter.
Okay. Okay, so, okay. Boyhood was good. See it. I've also been to a number of cool things at iHouse, but I feel like we got to move on, so I can't talk about
them
all.
No, you can.
Let's just say, check out the iHouse schedule. I saw the Warriors recently. That was
I
went to the Forgotten Film Fest. That was a lot of fun.
Was that awesome?
It was awesome. Exhumed stuff. We'll talk more about that, actually,
in the
upcoming
stuff.
Yeah. So, this episode, we wanted to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Before we go into this.
Okay.
I'm not entertaining Sean. I'm not entertaining any negative notions about Guardians of the Galaxy.
You
I
don't
know
have
how
to.
Liam feels.
Oh, you don't have to.
I'm just letting you know now that I will punch you in your face. And unlike Liam, I've done that before to people.
Okay, so I have to find my made-up list of things.
How I never fight? Is that what this is? You're saying that another thing? All right, you guys talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to go pee.
I'm just saying, man.
I'll take a water. When you're done peeing?
Here's the thing.
I hate you so much.
Okay,
so I'm going to cut you off. Guardians of the Galaxy is fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome.
It was... Okay. How did you feel, like, with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out and all the hype that went into its promotion, How did you feel, like, leading into it? What were your thoughts?
So I went from skeptical to highly excited to beyond fulfilled.
Right.
Simply
did
by
you
seeing
read
the movie.
The books? Were you in-
No. I didn't even know the comics existed.
Right.
And for once, I decided not to read them. So I'm like, okay. No, I don't know anything about these people. They're not necessarily following it, which is fine, because how can you follow 60 years of history in a movie? It's fucking impossible.
Right.
So I was just like, nah, I'm just going to see it.
Okay.
I'm just going to see it. And then I saw it, and it has James... Well, first off, I hadn't heard about it, and I'm like, okay, what is this? Okay, it looks kind of ridiculous, but sometimes ridiculous is fun. Then it said directed by James Gunn. I went, oh, fuck, awesome.
Yeah, James Gunn's pretty
good. Yeah, I love
what
James Gunn.
What else did he do? He did...
Slither is the other big one. Slither. That's one scene. He's done a lot of trauma stuff, actually. Which,
he did Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, and I'm not a trauma fan, but if you can come from trauma and then make Slither, I can get excited. Because Slither was a lot of fun. And
I did like that Lloyd Kaufman was in the movie, too.
Yes, thank you.
That made me laugh out loud. I LOL'd at that scene.
Yeah. I feel like... There are maybe 2 to 3 things I could say negative about the movie, but nothing significant and nothing that compares to the overwhelming fun of the movie. It kind of felt like someone took Star Wars and Firefly and combined them and made them into something that's better than that sounds.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I do think I have a couple of negative things to say, though they're mostly so that I can affirm there are some negatives and then refute a number of negatives that have been going around. And I've read a few things where I'm like, that's really dumb what you just said. So we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But let's just talk about it first of all. I mean, I think for me overall, this I hope is the final proof that prior attachment to characters does not matter for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
yes.
The idea, I mean, you'd think this would be clear from Iron Man. Now, I'm sure there were people who went like, I love Iron Man. Iron Man's so great. But most people I know don't love Iron Man. He's not a real endearing character.
Do you not love Iron Man?
Oh, I don't give a shit about Iron Man at all.
Don't give a shit
about
Iron Man.
He's some rich asshole in a metal suit.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah, go on.
And yet
basically.
Those movies are mostly compelling, and he works in the Avengers. So, you know, but I think Guardians of the Galaxy is like the final proof. I knew exactly one person ahead of time that was in love with those comics and was like, I can't wait for that movie because I love the comics. Mm. Most of us were like, Guardians of the what?
Yeah.
There's a fucking raccoon? What's going on?
When I found out that even Liam didn't know what it was, I was like, okay, well.
Right. I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea. I had seen, to be clear, I had seen some pictures. Like, I saw the art for it, and I was like, oh, yeah, raccoon on a tree, dude. Like, I've definitely seen that. But I had never read it, and I had certainly no attachment to it. And I think that's probably true of all of us, and most people have never seen the movie. We didn't go in being like, I hope they get the Guardians, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And yet, all three of us, at least, fell in love with that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
it was
so much
fun.
So
fun, man. It was like, my God, that movie, the whole ride, I was like with my hands up screaming. I thought it was really, really fun the whole
time. And I will say this, it's also a justified origin story. Mm. We needed to know where these guys came from, but they didn't go super deep into details. It was like very surface.
It was an origin story without being an origin story. Like, you didn't have to... And part of that is because they're not superheroes. You don't have to explain how they got powers.
Right.
Because they
don't have powers.
So you don't need to see them get testing or gamma bombed or some other bullshit.
Every character, though, had at least a little exposition, which I thought was amazing.
Yes.
Mostly personified by the scene where Rocket is crying about being destroyed and put back together when him and Drax the Destroyer are fighting. You know that scene? And he, like, has that weird moment.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I'm sick of it. And, like, he starts, like, almost crying. And it's like...
Yeah.
It's like a 2-second scene. A couple of lines.
But it added...
It exposes... It's such good exposition.
And
for
it
like,
added depth to a character that could have been just a joke. It's a fucking talking raccoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could have been, like,
yeah.
the worst part of the movie. You know, like, dumb
just
raccoon.
Just, like, dumb gimmick.
But he was so good. And he worked so well. I mean, I would... Okay, so maybe... I do think... they could have done a little bit more with Gamora. You know, like, she, you know, she's coming in as a servant of Thanos. Mm. She had the most connection to the big bad guy.
Yeah, she's
and
also
there
like,
wasn't as much material there as I thought like there
could
have been.
Do you remember Gamora from the books at all? Or?
No, don't even remember her.
I see, I remember Gamora and I remember Nebula. Because Nebula is...
No,
is
I do
Thanos
remember Nebula, actually. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's her right... She's his right hand for most of the Infinity Gauntlet and the Infinity Wars and all
right,
that.
Right.
So that's why she looks familiar.
So
okay.
She's in there.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks different in the book. She has hair. But she's blue, for sure.
But I don't remember Gamora from the books.
Yeah, I don't know
Gamora
at all.
And, like, weirdo X-Men crossovers with, like, the Starjammers and, like, all... Remember when, like, X-Men went in that weird Secret Wars, like, all that stuff, and they're in space?
Yeah.
Like, she's in there for that. I think. I mean, it's been so long.
I always got confused by X-Men in space.
It's such a...
Because there would be, like, 80 characters.
Yeah, and, like, people would be dead, and people wouldn't be
dead. Oh, and there would always be that first page you open, and be like, it would have the name of every character, and you just, like, it would take, like, 17 minutes to read it.
So, I mean, but getting to the movie, I mean, I think for me, I liked the music aspect. It might have been slightly overused, but I think it worked. I like that they left who his father is as a mystery, especially since that's one of the things I researched before the movie, like, well, who is this character Star-Lord? And it's not that interesting anyway. So I kind of like if they just keep it a big secret who his father is. Like, that's cool. Yeah, Let's make it a mystery. Way to introduce the
Infinity Stones and all that.
Well, yeah, and I want to get to that actually later. Okay. But I was actually more thinking of the aliens. What are they? The Kree.
Yeah, yeah.
Great introduction of the Kree.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a nerd like me and have watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know the Kree have already been kind of introduced.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
But not really directly. It was like a quick, like, was that a blue guy? And then the Asgardian woman names Kree as one of the blue races.
Yep.
But you don't know that that's a Kree until, with this movie, I feel like it's probably a Kree. I mean, they were introducing, you know, whatever. So, anyway, so I felt like that was handled really well. Like you said, the development of the characters, you know, maybe they're not super deep, but they're good for what they are.
Perfect for
what I feel like there could have been more with them, but the movie's already so long. And, but
how long is the movie?
It's over 2 hours.
It's over 2 hours.
It's not like 20 minutes.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun. I feel like, though, if they had done too much exposition, it would have gotten old. Right. It would have been like, oh, it's dragging, and I don't know.
And I feel like, especially for some of the characters, you don't need tons, like with Drax, like they just had like one or two things where he starts to kind of like lighten up, or it's the English thing where you like, because he takes everything literally, and then he finally
he can't deal with metaphors. Or
yeah, and then he finally like looks and he's like metaphor, and it's fucking awesome. And all he does is say the words metaphor.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy that plays him is half Filipino. Go on.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the side characters were funny. You know, like they used Oh, what's the guy's name?
John C. Reilly.
They used him well.
Oh, yeah.
They used that other British dude
The guy from Shaun of the Dead.
The guy from Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, he's on a lot of things since Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. I know, but...
That's what I know him from primarily, Shaun of the Dead, so I feel bad, but whatever.
He's awesome.
I just feel like, it was well done. It was a real world.
Close. Let's talk about the guy, Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah. Glenn Close in a Marvel movie.
And what she's doing. Yeah. And the best part for me about that whole world setup is, like, to hint at Nova without introducing Nova. That's really cool. Genius. Like, that's really well done. Well, for those of you who don't know, Nova's a character, and I get the feeling that
he's going to be playing.
We're going to see Nova eventually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played a big role in the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, books. Yeah. So, well, they've had Adam Warlock's cocoon in the Collector's Collection twice now.
That's so cool.
So,
oh man.
So good. Adam Warlock's cocoon. I didn't see it.
Yeah. It's totally. Yeah, I read one of those like.
Did you read the Easter egg thing that said I was just trying to figure it out on my own and I couldn't figure anything out. Obvious spoiler at the end. Which, can we just do this right now? Spoiler alert! Like, can we just do that? Because let's just say we haven't done any spoilers yet. Actually, I think
we haven't.
But I'm ready to do it. And technically, this was spoiled for most people on the internet. There was a critic before the movie was even out who tweeted the end reveal.
Really?
Which a lot of people didn't like the end reveal. It was some dude. I don't know what his name was. Some asshole. I don't know.
Yeah, who was it?
What was it? I don't know. But anyways, he was just like, oh, how are the ducks at the end? And everyone's like, what the fuck? Why would you tell people? Like, I don't know. But it's been out long enough, I don't feel bad. How are the ducks at the end?
Yeah.
Right.
Which was fun.
To be honest, the only part I knew was Howard the Duck. That was the only thing I recognized from the whole collector scene. I wanted to connect with any of those things, and it was just a mess for me. I don't know what it was. Yeah. So I got to go look it up and see what the Easter egg. That's you remember really any funny. Of them, what they were?
So the one that I thought I saw but couldn't place... turned out to be one of the blue elves from Thor 2. So he's one of the dark elves from Thor 2.
I was wrong. I did notice that as well.
There is the slugs from Slither, which I didn't see, but they're in there.
Wow.
Which is pretty fucking
cool.
Awesome.
That's great.
That's like the perfect pointless crossover that's not going to go anywhere, but it's fun.
Same with, again, Lloyd Kaufman being in the one scene.
Yeah.
The crossover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like real nerdy, but it's like if you saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not seeing it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's Adam Warlock's cocoon, which in the freeze frame you can see actually rather clearly.
Yeah.
And I think there was...
Did you catch it when you saw it?
No, I didn't. I did see a lot of green blow-up stuff, and that's actually his cocoon. In the other shot, it looks like it's destroyed.
Oh.
So he might be out and about these days.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
I wonder how they're going to shoot Adam Warlock with the cape with the galaxy in it and all that shit.
I don't know.
He looks so awesome in the books. I don't know how they're going to do it.
I have no idea.
This is the other theory I had. So supposedly there's hints at Hulk being in space. I don't know if that's a planet.
Yeah,
Hulk.
The planet Hulk thing.
Yeah, is that what we're thinking? But did you read anything that said what the hints were?
I haven't. I just read that.
No.
I just read from someone that saw like a pre-screening or something, where they're just like, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is definitely setting up planet Hulk, and I come away going, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
So I had one theory.
How?
I had one theory that the pink people in the movie. Remember, he's got the pink people that are
his servants.
That those are the people from the planet that Hulk ends up on in Planet Hulk, because they were pink and kind of weird looking like that.
Huh.
I don't know. I could be wrong. Yeah. It was just the only thing that like I was like, oh, maybe it could be that. I'm not sure. Anyways, back to the thing. One of the questions I had before we get into, I want to talk a little bit about critiques and things like that. But just this movie is such an explosion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
It's such an expansion. What do you guys see as sort of, how does this movie affect that world? Like, what, for the future of these movies, how do you think this movie might affect it?
Well, I mean, they were saying, number one, that it doesn't happen in the future, that it's a parallel timeline, is what I had read.
Right.
So, it doesn't affect what's going on in terms of, like, where everything is going, I don't think. Like, if you're gonna, if the next thing...
No, I mean, it does in the sense of, like, now we all of a sudden have space. I mean, everything in the Marvel Universe so far has been non-spacey, except for Asgard, which... Is that space or another dimension? I mean, they never really say, you know?
So here's kind of what I feel. Like, I feel like it kind of... It connects it rather well with Star-Lord. I feel like the connection... The fact that that group... What were they called? Not the Reavers.
The Reavers were awesome, but...
Yeah.
Were they called the Reavers? No. Reavers. Not Reavers. They were called the Reavers? Called okay. Reavers.
Oh. Right.
So many things are called Reavers. Get a different name. Anyway. So, like... Even though he's not fully human, they went to Earth to get Star-Lord, which means they have knowledge of Earth and some interest in Earth people, which means at some point Earth could play a role or get sucked into this in some way, shape, or form, partially probably because they now have superpower people, especially if, spoiler alert from Captain America thing, Hydra is making superpower people.
Right.
So that kind of gets in. But at the same time, it doesn't overwhelm to the point where you're like, well, this other stuff that's happening that's not space related doesn't even matter because like Galactus or someone is coming to destroy Earth anyway, so none of that stuff even matters.
Yeah, they could do Galactus.
They totally could.
Yes, they could,
and do it so much better than the Fantastic Four movie did.
Even see that movie.
Yeah, don't even worry.
But so no, I feel like, but I also think that it definitely explodes like the types of stories they could tell, which is awesome because they can start to get into some of the more sort of outlandish stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems like a lot of fun because I feel like as much as I like the Batman movies, they kind of cemented the thing from X-Men where, like, in order to make the comic movies, you have to make it realistic and gritty and dark and be, like, very not how it might play out. Not only not comic booky, but also restrained. Like, you know, they have to be, like, things that are on Earth. So you have to deal with, like, terrorist organizations and or power struggles, which can be interesting. But at the same time, it can start to get a little old, and like this just kind of like throws a whole fucking can of worms into everything, and they can just go and play, because that's one of the great things about Marvel is it's basically everything. It's like if you're 12 and you're into stuff, it's all in Marvel. Like it has superpowers,
spy stories,
spies, aliens, gods. Sorcery, gods, celestial beings, other dimensions that somehow aren't gods and aren't space. Like,
I mean, you
could
literally
everything.
Have a comic where a vampire is fighting an immortal being from another planet. You know what I mean? Like, it was all over the place.
Yeah,
and there's all kinds of weird elements.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's so you think that Guardians of the Galaxy is the initial step into this?
The initial step was actually Avengers because beyond...
Oh, yeah.
Because they brought in those other aliens, too. So they even though they kind of had to use the cube or whatever, but now the cubes are there, and you know that they come to Earth for reasons other than Loki wanting to take over because he's pissed off at Daddy.
Right.
Well, and they've been introducing, as you were alluding to before, the Infinity
Gauntlet,
like through the Infinity Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I really like that aspect. And so, this is one of the things I wanted to get
into.
Did
you read the Infinity Gauntlet books at all?
So, I read some of them. I didn't read the full Infinity War.
I read the beginning, where it ends with Thanos in a field, like being all happy.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Thanos had the Infinity Gauntlet, and he was basically beating the shit out of Silver Surfer. Yeah, Silver Surfer,
everyone was, like, dying.
Was that number 50, maybe? Or there was, like, a glossy cover.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And he's just making Silver Surfer remember his past.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, torturing him with the gauntlet. You know, it's, like, this whole thing. And my feeling, you know, like, on that... So A, I want to say, like, I think the introduction to Infinity Gems is cool. Because, like, doing the Infinity Gauntlet story, the whole thing, could be awesome if it was handled right. And that seems like Thanos is there. And so this is what I want to get. I've been hearing this a lot lately. A lot of people who like the movies are like, they have two critiques. And one of the critiques I want to take seriously, which is that the way these Marvel movies tend to work is that the villains are not very interesting. That the villains tend to just be some dumb, bad dude who has a grudge about something. And all the character development is really with the heroes.
With the heroes.
The counterpoint to that is Loki, but they're already trying to redeem Loki. And so Loki's going to play a not maybe not hero role, but like
not
a...
not-so-evil role.
Yeah, not-so-evil role. He's like the Mr. Sinister of the of the Avengers universe, you know?
Yeah,
you can't trust him, but he's not just a bad guy. You know what I mean? But most of the bad guys in the movies, whatever. And then I read a really long think piece about... wasting Thanos. That Thanos is the big bad. He's going to be the focus guy. But he's not in Avengers 2. He's been in two movies now, sort of pointlessly, and he's not very effective. Like, everything he does is kind of... he gets easily defeated, quote-unquote, in what he's doing. But if his goal is just figuring out where these Infinity Stones are, and then in one fell swoop he gets them all and makes the gauntlet, then that's pretty awesome. And
yeah,
so,
that's pretty badass.
So, like, on one hand, I get what you're saying. In... specifically in Guardians of the Galaxy, Thanos, he just sits in a fucking chair. He sends people to do something that you kind of think, like, couldn't you just do that shit yourself? Like, why are you sending Blue Guy, who, by the way, Ronan was not a great villain. He was fine.
No.
He was just okay.
But they didn't even really they didn't get into his whole thing. Like, why, like, he's Ronan, like, what was he, like, Ronan the Zealot or Ronan?
No, it was like Ronan the Accuser.
Accuser. How do you name a character Ronan the Accuser and then why is he named that? There's no explanation for it. All you know is he really hates the one planet and he wants to fuck those fuckers up, but why? Like, they don't get into it enough. They don't give you... they needed to give you a little more of Ronan for Ronan to be...
okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then Thanos is just sitting in a damn chair. Everyone's afraid of him, but why? Like some image of Thanos fucking destroying somebody or doing something. Blow a planet up, damn it. Like, let's do something, you know? And he's just hanging out. So I get that critique. Well, I totally get it. What do you guys think about that? Like, let's just stick with that for now.
I think I read the same exact piece.
Yeah.
And although I see some credence to it, I kind of don't really buy into it.
Okay.
Like, first off, the two movies thing, one of them is a half-second turn and smile in a post-credit scene.
Right.
So it's I don't even really think that counts.
Very true, yeah.
And all it reveals is that he's the guy that gave Loki all his powers and can manipulate fucking Loki, who almost took over the entire planet of the Earth.
He's a god, yeah.
So he can do that. So, and you get all of that out of him, like, basically turning and looking at a camera. Right. In this movie, he's playing much more Empire Strikes Back type of role, a little bit more upfront because you actually see him sitting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have Gamora and Nebula and Ronan all there, and none of them feel like, oh, we can even try to not do what he says. So even though Ronan gets the Infinity Stone, even then, I still felt like Thanos was like, yeah, whatever, you had Infinity Stone, fuck you.
I mean, I think that's true, but they could have shown... I feel like the one place where Guardians could have shown a little more was just a teeny bit more. I get they're teasing him, and he's going to become a bigger role later on, but even a tease has to have a little bit of the flavor. There's, like, no flavor there. He yells a little bit. He sits in a chair. Yeah, he doesn't do shit.
That's true. That's true. And that's where I get it, because in the Emperor connection, it's very clear that Darth Vader is completely subservient and would never...
Challenge the Emperor
unless he can get Luke Skywalker to help him. So he's like, oh, I need the only other Jedi in the world to even think about challenging the Emperor because, and the only reason I'm thinking about it is because you're my son.
Right.
otherwise, no.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Josh, about the slow build-up, but it just seems to me like they could have given a little bit more. That being said, the other thing that people critique these movies for is a MacGuffin, i.e. every movie has the magic thing. And so each one... well, but here's the thing. Technically, it's not that each movie has its own weird MacGuffin. It's that a number of these movies have the same fucking MacGuffin because it's leading up to a big thing. And now, granted, if we don't see an Avengers 3, the Infinity War, or Guardians 2, or Thor 3, or whatever the fuck it is, if they never get to the Infinity War, we just keep saying the Infinity Gems and we don't do anything with it, then I would get the frustration. That would be very frustrating.
Yes.
But don't keep saying, like, oh, another Infinity Gem? That's so stupid. Or they're leading up to something, fucking idiot.
Something crazy is coming.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is the place where I should be sensitive, though. Like, it probably is frustrating if you don't know the story at all. But it's hard for me to believe that anyone who's read any of these comics would be like, oh, you know, it's just another dumb magic thing. No. They're hinting at a much larger
dumb magic thing.
Technically, in the history of the Marvel Universe, this is probably the most important dumb magic thing there is.
Yes.
There
is not a better thing.
The only thing that competes with it is Phoenix.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, sure. Or the Beyonder. You know what I mean?
Like, okay, sure.
Which, let's be fair, let's all pray they never do the Beyonder movie. That would be terrible.
That would be awful.
But this is the thing. The Infinity Gauntlet, the gauntlet holding the Infinity Gems, Thanos is briefly a god. Adam Warlock has him for a while, and he's, you know, protecting the entire universe. Like, it's a huge thing. And so, like, I get that you don't know it's a huge thing yet because you haven't read the comics. But to me, the way that they're used in the movies is not stupid.
Yeah,
it's hinting at a larger buildup. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's because I've read the comics, and so I'm not seeing it clearly. I don't know what you guys think. Are we just biased?
I disagree. I think part of it is people who didn't read them might not have caught on to it in some of the earlier movies. Like, especially I'm thinking like Captain America with the Tesseract, and it's one of them, and they don't really get it. But the Tesseract basically is half responsible for everything that happens in that movie. And for, like, pushing humanity in this huge direction right at the same time that they create super soldiers. So, anyway, I mean, I think there could be a little bit of frustration because there's no payoff yet. But at the same time, it's very clear that this is a long-term concept by the studios. They're making all these goddamn movies. And you don't want to have your giant story be 11 movies into a 40-movie plan.
Right.
Which is maybe a bad idea to have a 40-movie plan, but whatever. That's a different story. So I feel like this was the first movie that kind of threw it out there with him, the collector, trying to collect them, and they show it on the screen and all the different things, and you see what happens when someone touches them. Mm. And, you know, the only other time you got a hint of that was when they use a Tesseract to open a portal and bring in aliens. So, like, and at that point, you didn't know this thing about the Infinity Stones unless you had read the comics. Mm, right. But now you can finally connect it, and at that time, they're having Thanos supposedly now lose it. I think, Liam, you're right. He's basically more trying to figure out where they all are.
Yeah, I think the idea, I mean, I think you're right. That piece, this is a piece, by the way, if you want to read it, was in The Dissolve. And it's well written. I mean, I'm not attacking the piece.
Oh,
it's
no.
It was a great thought piece on something that probably doesn't deserve that much thought, but whatever. It was really good. And I love The Dissolve. It's like one of my favorite websites. But
The Dissolve is awesome.
It's amazing. You should read it. But I do think, I disagree with this dude, because I think that, he didn't really hound on the Infinity Gems. He's just talking about Thanos in general.
Yeah.
But even on the ineffectiveness of Thanos, the whole plan isn't revealed yet.
Right.
That
we're still in the beginning stages.
Yeah,
we're still building.
And you know, he's trying to figure this whole thing out. You know, it's a complicated plan, and it has to do with a lot of different elements. And so I don't think it's fair to say, like, oh, he's already wasted. It's like, no, I think you're right about the slow build up thing. Mm. I do think this was an opportunity to see him do one badass thing.
Yes.
Just one thing where you're like, oh, man, that dude's no joke.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it then.
I think Sean's right, though. You've got Nebula, you've got Gamora, and you've got Ronan, and none of them are like, yo, we can take that throne from Thanos.
I do want to say,
and they're already such nihilistic characters. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, I was going to say, one thing with Ronan not really being that interesting, maybe Gormley being a little underused, I actually felt like Nebula, though, given small screen time, was more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like they
did. She was used a lot.
Awesome.
But then, did I miss it? Did they kill her off?
I don't think so.
She's probably going to make it, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
She's
and
like
I feel
breaking
like.
Breaking and then refixing herself.
Yeah.
That's what I
feel like, just with, like, the way she reacted to Ronan getting the thing and being like, oh, holy shit, maybe we can possibly just maybe take on Thanos, who is my father, but I would destroy billions of planets to kill him.
Yeah,
it just kind of like, it gives enough of a hint that she has been totally used, manipulated, no matter how powerful she is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and let's clarify too. inevitably they're going to have to do Thanos' backstory. You can't... They keep calling... Notice they don't just say he's Thanos. They've used the term the Mad Titan. Mm-hmm. It only makes sense if we get into what the fuck are Titans?
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
this whole thing? So there's going to be a huge backstory. So yeah, right now it's just some purple asshole on a chair. Yeah, with but they're going to like get into like who he is, what he's about. And I hope they get into the whole... his obsession with death, that he is in love with death. Like, I wonder if that's too representational, too literal for this cinematic universe.
Right.
But I really hope it's not, because I love that aspect of the character.
Yeah. That's what makes Thanos' character so interesting, I think, in the books. Yeah.
So, like, with... Go ahead.
No, that's all.
It just seems like we're... Now, you've read it... How much do you think, as someone who's read... I think you've read more of this than we have, maybe, of the Infinity stuff.
I didn't read the rest after... After Adam Warlock gets the Infinity Gauntlet off of Thanos, and Thanos ends up living beyond and all that, and that's the end. That's where I stop.
Okay, so, but what aspects of that would you like to see in future movies? If you were going to plan out where this plot is going, what would you like to see it evolve?
I would love to see that war. That war scene at the end where everyone's getting killed. Like, he kills off everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, dude, can you imagine what that's going to look like on the big screen? He's killing off, like, the Hulk, and, I mean, like, in the book, he kills off everybody. Like, the Hulk and Spider-Man and Captain America.
Doesn't even kill off, like, Galactus.
He kills off Galactus and one of the Watchers.
It's
unbelievable what happens in that book. And then, you know, Nebula gets the gauntlet off of him, and then, like, there's this weird thing, and, like, then they're fighting each other. And then, I forget how... I haven't read in so long, I can't really remember.
Yeah, he even has Satan as a lackey in Infinity Gauntlet. Like, fucking so Satan. Awesome. Yeah, he's just I got Satan.
Dude, what? The assault is going to be so awesome if they do it like they did in the books. Yeah. Where this huge team of villains and heroes... trying to take down Thanos, and he just fucking smashes.
Well, I don't think they've expanded the universe wide enough yet.
I don't think they have either.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're going to look at Guardians, at the Avengers, maybe a couple of villains.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll involve the Kree or the Skrull. Whatever.
And I think this might be where not having the Fantastic Four property hurts, because I don't know...
Same with the X-Men, though, because, like, Wolverine's in there.
Yeah, but I think the loss of Silver Surfer hurts more than the X-Men. Like, Wolverine's there, but Wolverine versus Silver Surfer in this storyline is not a contest. Yeah. Wolverine can't even beat Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet. I mean,
Right. But having Galactus even, like, Galactus is part of the Fantastic Four property.
Now, some of those characters are shared. I don't know which ones are and which ones aren't. I don't know anything about Galactus. I don't think so.
I read something that said Galactus was part of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I think he's locked on. And I really feel like, and I think I had this conversation with Liam, that the Marvel Cinematic Universe would benefit more from getting the rights to Fantastic Four than the rights to X-Men. Like, I really feel like X-Men can exist on their own, as much as they're tied in. But I feel like if you're going to do a separation, the separation would be X-Men and everything else.
Right.
And I feel like not having Fantastic Four could, like, they're going to have to work around, but I think that might be, maybe they bring in the Inhumans and just kind of, like, put them in a different light to try to fill some of those holes.
Thinking about that, Sean, I think you're right, too, because if you think about Infinity War and a lot of some of the more... let's say 80s, 90s cosmic comics, let's call them, you know, the Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four stuff. A lot of that went really crazy because the X-Men were eating all the profits. Like, there was a point at which, like, X-Men books were triple selling every other Marvel book.
Yeah.
So I think part of the reason they could do so much crazy shit was because they had to do something to keep people reading. Because everyone's just reading X-Men. Yeah. So, like, separating those worlds makes... Now, don't get me wrong. We were just talking about it. The X-Men have space ties.
Yep.
When the X-Men were in space was when X-Men sales were low. And it was when they got X-Men back to Earth and back focused on all kinds of gritty, conspiracy-related bullshit that all of a sudden people were buying the X-Men again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
The later Claremont. I think the early Claremont, and I could be wrong about this, but I just, you know, my memory of reading about this was that early Claremont was the beginning of the term, but it hadn't shifted yet. Mm-hmm. And later Claremont is when X-Men's making. I mean, at one point there were what? Like
800
six different X-books?
Well, you had Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, X-Force.
X-Factor. And then Generation X, and then Wolverine.
Like Wolverine, the X-Men, you had the New Mutants.
Well, New Mutants became X-Force.
Yes. So whatever.
But, I mean, there was just a lot. They were a big sales item. And I think those different worlds... I know, it's fine. I think those different worlds could exist differently, but you're right. there's a lot of shit tied up with Fantastic Four that's getting lost. I mean, how good would Doctor Doom be in an Avengers world? How good would Galactus be in an Avengers world? Mm-hmm. Even, you know, like you said, Silver Surfer, all that
sort of stuff. Even just having Reed Richards and Tony Stark doing science shit together.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to pull some of that in, I think, with Ant-Man and Hank Pym.
They will.
But even Hank Pym is always kind of a fucking joke, man.
It's like, such a maligned movie anyway, as it stands, that, like, Lord knows what's going to happen with
Edgar Wright leaving is really
bummed. That's so huge. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Dude, I have little to no hope for the Ant-Man movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've had I feel like this is a pretty good conversation about Guardians of the Galaxy. I think the last thing I was going to say is, you know, I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like Guardians is probably the strongest Marvel movie. Is that fair to say?
Wow. Yeah. I thought it and I didn't say it out loud.
I would say
on record, I'm going as far as saying that is the greatest Marvel movie I've seen.
I will go on record. I will say it's my favorite. I would need to rewatch it and Captain America back to back. They're
Captain
very
America 1 or 2?
Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Yeah. Not great. Captain America 1. Captain America 1 was a huge surprise because another character I don't care about. I don't care about Captain America.
It's so boring.
Yeah. But you know what? The first movie, I enjoyed it. And I was surprised. But Winter Soldier is just fucking ridiculous. And I feel like it's the height of serious Earth Marvel stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's the other aspect. You know, yes, Marvel's out in space with the gods and stuff, but Marvel has a whole spy world to it, and that really came out in Winter Soldier.
And I also love that it came out right around the same time as we're finding out about how the NSA is, like, tapping into us everywhere, and the whole story is basically like, oh, what if they decided just to kill us instead of, like, spying on us?
Yeah.
So, but Guardians of the Galaxy is way more fun.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. It is so goddamn funny. And I feel like we talked a lot about the Thanos and the not bad guys. I just really want to say, like, they nailed every character. Groot was amazing.
Right.
So good. And the fact that we're in spoiler territory, died and is reborn, I don't give a shit about, because I want to see more Groot.
Yeah.
And
no, just bring back Groot. I don't care how you do it.
And and even though it did follow some of the, like, the basic Marvel movie tropes of, like, the not-so-interesting bad guy, the MacGuffin and everything, I feel like there was both an immense explosion in terms of, like, the visuals, and also outside of maybe the scene in New York, the invasion of Prime was just awesome. Like, the way they did the Prime spaceship things, when they were down there shooting the other spaceships, it just felt like, even though it wasn't, like, necessarily long, it's just, it felt very epic and, like, very well done. Where they're like, oh my god, they're flying the spaceships in the city, now we're gonna go down, we're gonna shoot the spaceships because hopefully that will be better.
It felt a lot like the three-tiered Star Wars approach to the finale.
Yes, it did.
Fighting Ronan, you had the starships trying to hold back the big one, and then you had the people on Prime So it was like the same. That's the first thing that I thought of when I saw it. I was like, this is like, you know, Luke Vader, Han Solo on Moon of Endor, and Lando in the Millennium Falcon trying to build Death Star. Like, that's what I thought.
No, you're totally on point on that.
So,
yeah.
So, last thought. What do you think? What is your ultimate hope? Like, we know that there's... we're not the kind of podcast we're talking about. You know, I'm sure Comic-Con they revealed the next fucking stage of 50 movies they're planning to do. I don't care. I don't know all that shit. What I'm saying is less, like, specific, more generally. Where do you want to see these Marvel movies go? What do you feel like is the best direction? Just one idea that you have about,
like, not counting the Infinity Gauntlet?
I mean, Infinity Gauntlet's like a specific plot point. I just mean generally, like
what is a Marvel
now that we
movie
have
that
this
like
great
see?
Marvel movie... How do you think Marvel could keep going with this momentum from Guardians?
I think that if they continue to pursue the notion that there's an innocence that they captured with Guardians, they captured a beautiful sense of childhood wonder. And maybe it's just a Star Wars connection for me, and that's what I related to. But they did it. They did it, and if I can see that in a story about, say, Black Panther, if I could see that in a story about, like, you know, like, dude, can you imagine, like, a Beta Ray Bill story? Like, if they do that, and they pull in Beta Ray Bill with Thor, like, holy shit, the possibility of that being awesome?
I mean, here's the thing. It's funny, because a lot of people, there's been a lot of backlash over the Doctor Strange announcements.
Oh, yeah.
But you could do some cool-ass shit with Doctor Strange.
Yes, I agree.
You really could. And, like, don't get me wrong. It's not because I love Doctor Strange as a character. But Doctor Strange has been a cool element of a lot of other books I've actually
enjoyed. Yes, for sure. I've always felt like a crossover was more epic if Doctor Strange was involved, because then you're bringing in all kinds of other shit.
Mephisto, you know what I mean? Yeah. We could do a whole fucking Defenders storyline.
Oh my gosh,
so
yes.
Oh my god.
So good. My thought, though, as a person of color, I want to see a Black Panther movie. I want to see a movie where it's not Nick Fury with Sam Jackson. It's not Falcon, who plays second banana to Captain America. Mm-hmm. I want to see, like, a straight-up superhero movie with a person of color as the person.
You don't think you're getting that a little bit with Luke Cage, the Netflix show with Luke Cage?
Not a movie to the scale of Guardians of the Galaxy.
So you would like something with a character of color that's originally a character of color.
Mm-hmm.
At that scale. I mean, to be fair, Black Panther, I mean, clearly that's a Black Power character. That's why that character exists. Yeah,
but he was one of my favorite characters growing up. Like, he was so cool.
Versus
Kraven and all that shit.
Well, and the whole Wakanda storyline where hey, if there was a country in Africa that never submitted to colonialism, it would be the richest fucking country in the world because all of our natural resources come from there. Which is, by the way, why they're so poor, because we just want to exploit them and take all their shit.
Right. Yes.
Don't you think that would be an amazing
movie? It would be an amazing movie.
Yes.
Don't you think...
Sean, what do you think? What would be your...
Here's I was thinking about it when you put it, because I hadn't really thought outside of like specific storylines, and I kind of wanted to think bigger than that.
Yeah.
So one, I want to echo Josh's sentiment that having like a sort of innocence is great, because I really felt like that was what has been starting to set Marvel apart, is like they're not going with the whole gritty thing. Like, Christopher Nolan's movies, great, fine, whatever. Not every superhero movie has to be like that. They're inherently silly.
Right.
So let us have a little bit of that sort of joy and attach to them, because then maybe you can do some other things. What I would like to think, if they're really going cosmic, and I think that makes a lot of sense, especially because the number one biggest difference between a cinematic universe and the actual comic universe is you're not drawing these people, so these actors get older, and they're going to stop playing these roles. Right. So you cannot do Captain America movies for the next 50 years.
Right.
Unless you're just constantly changing Captain America.
Right. Yeah.
So I think pulling Earth into the cosmic universe and using it as a way to sort of like, you know, first off, you show people like starting to wonder, like, oh, how are these people becoming superpowered? And holy shit, there's aliens, and there's a giant green fucking thing, and like, yada yada. But then if you get Thanos and whatever, and you start to pull Earth into the whole cosmic thing, and then start to use that as a way to question, like, our own view of ourselves, both in terms of, like, us on this planet as humans, and, like, why we allow ourselves to do what we do this planet. And also the very concept that we are unique in the galaxy, realistically. And kind of pull it in and do it in more, not in like a deep interstellar kind of way or whatever. And of course, haven't seen Interstellar because I haven't come out, but whatever. That, I think, could be really cool, because you're going to start to get, especially because you're going to start getting characters that are less well known. I mean, you totally killed it with Guardians of the Galaxy, but are you going to kill it with Doctor Strange and with Ant-Man and with Adam Warlock and with whatever they go to next? I mean, at some point, these characters become... You're not going to hit on all of them. Right. They're not all going to be home runs. At some point, you're going to like try and make a Black Panther movie, and you'll hire Wesley Snipes, and instead of making Blade 2, you'll make Blade 3.
Right.
And that would be really depressing.
Oh, God.
An analogy? Holy shit, that possibility exists. Wow.
But yeah, I think if you go for that sort of tone of like using these crazy super things and bringing humanity into a role through the superpowers that are coming up, and kind of using that as a way to explore things that are happening, like just the concept of our consistent belief in how things are.
Right.
Like an example in human history, like our consistent belief that everything revolved around the Earth, and it took us however many fucking thousands of years to learn that, oh no, we revolve around the sun. Oh wait, the sun revolves around this giant black hole in the middle of this oh wait, there's like a trillion fucking galaxies. Like, it constantly gets bigger, and this is one way to explore that concept of the fact that space, every time we learn something about space, it's just bigger. Yeah. It's just bigger. And it becomes less and less likely that there are not other creatures out there. Whether we ever make contact with them, who knows. But there's it's kind of a way to deal with it, in hopefully a lighthearted, fun kind of way.
I think for me, what always made Marvel interesting was, like, it was a continuous universe with a million different connections.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, for me, it's really like a continual universal expansion and a willingness to cross-gen. If you really look at it right now, the actual crossing of things between the various movies and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
has actually been very neutered. You don't have as many characters in other movies. It should really be like oh, I'm going to go see Thor 3 or Thor fucking 4. Mm. I'm going to see all these assholes. Thor 4 is going to be focused on Thor, but any one of these discs could show up and be a part of the story. Mm. And I think they need to do more of that. Like, and I understand there's budgetary concerns. I'm sure Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can't afford to have Samuel Jackson show up for every episode.
No.
But having some more cool... I mean, you're introducing some of the weirdest side characters in these movies. Those side characters should have recurring roles in other movies and other shows and not doing the Netflix shows. This whole thing is only going to work if it's actually a universe in which... they could show up anywhere. There's a larger interconnectedness. And I think you're right that inevitably that's going to be a problem in that there's a bunch of characters they can't access right now. But if they could really get to the point where they can access them, I think it would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's a limitation as how far they can go. Eventually these actors are going to want to do it. But they're already dealing with that in the comic book world, right?
Yeah.
They are regularly replacing characters in the comic book world with other characters. Oh, Steve Rogers is dead. Well, now Falcon's Captain America.
Yeah, and he's exactly.
Black, so, fuck you. You know, like, it's they're doing whatever.
Yeah.
And I think Josh is right. Like, if we're going to start going to more obscure characters, Black Panther. Like, I think it's kind of weird they're talking about Daredevil, which has already had a shitty movie, and not talking about Black Panther. Like, I think Black Panther would be more appealing.
Or making a more modern-day Daredevil and just having Daredevil but not be white.
Sure.
I mean, that's like, fair.
You know. Fine. But there was a Black Panther character.
Yeah. Black Panther.
Dude, they do the movie, that movie, I will be there.
I would
I'd be so excited.
Oh, man. Okay, I want to, we have a lot, probably a lot we could still say. I want to wrap up, though. We're getting a little over time. We always like to finish with things that we're excited about. And that could be an event coming up, or a movie coming out that you want to go see, or something that you just want to tell people about that you think is worth them caring about. So, Sean, again, is our guest. Do you have anything you're excited about coming up you want to tell people about?
So, two things. One personal that no one else can go to, but first family vacation coming up in 2 weeks.
Nice. Where are you going?
Oh, okay.
I forget what it's called. It's a lake in Pennsylvania. Nice. My daughter wants to swim, and she said lake over... ocean.
Okay.
So I just booked it today, so that'll be fun.
Good for you, man.
And then I kind of dropped it, but Interstellar. I've seen the trailer twice. I've cried twice.
Really?
Yeah. That's one of the things that has happened.
Hey, man. Come on.
Well, it's just one of the things that's happened since I had a kid. I cried a little bit at Guardians of the Galaxy when he was like explaining about the tape recorder.
Yeah.
And when we saw the full version of Kill Bill and I knew she was walking in to see her daughter, I started crying then. So yeah, it's just something that happens to me now. It never happened to me before, and now it just happens. So like when he's like telling his daughter that he's always gonna be there and he's gonna come back and he's going to God knows where in outer space and you know he's never fucking coming back, I'm crying and it's a fucking trailer. I'm practically holding it back right now.
It looks awesome.
Interstellar, I am insanely stoked for, and I feel like it could be the culmination of 2 years of awesome sci-fi and good sci-fi efforts that maybe didn't work out very well, like Elysium.
Okay. I didn't see Elysium.
I haven't either, but I've never heard a single good thing about it from anybody. Out of it looks nice.
Fair enough.
Josh, what about you? What are you excited about coming
this
out?
Sunday, I don't know if this episode is going to go up before Sunday, but this Sunday...
I will try.
Our friend Matthew Garrett is having his first quarterly vivisection screening... at the Philomoka! Yay! So, it's going to be 8 short films, handpicked by Mr. Garrett himself, and I'm pretty stoked on that, because Matt's a good friend of mine, and I've known him forever, and I think he's awesome. And so, and also Eric and everybody at the Philomoka, the Cinadelphia guys, they're awesome people. I love writing for them. I love being a member of that family. And I love seeing the stuff that they do well. So, that's what I'm stoked on. This Sunday, the 17th, 8 o'clock at the Philomoka, Vivisections, as curated by Matthew Garrett.
That's cool. I'm excited about that. I'm hoping to go to that. I have to go to Easton briefly, but I should be back for that. But if you can go, I think that's really worth going to. Two things I want to talk about. First, as y'all know, we are big fans here of Exhumed Films. I went up to Yonkers for that.
Yonkers.
That was a lot of fun. I love it. I will say the service at the Yonkers Alamo was not as great as the one in Austin, but it was still fun. But I got a salad after all the movies were over. I was like, salad to go.
Just a big up to Joseph Gervaisi.
Yeah, also, big up to all the Exhumed people.
It's Monster Mania this weekend, so if you're there, Diabolic DVD is going to be set up. So buy stuff from them.
Nice.
And that dude is the man.
Yeah, so, they should give us free DVDs.
What's up, Joseph? They Big love, dog. How you doing?
They should give me that Possession box set. Anyways, but I do want to promote. Exhumed has an event coming up August 23rd at the International House. They're going to be doing a double feature of underrated science fiction films, specifically Star Trek II. Oh, no.
No, three.
Sorry, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Oh, so fun.
30th anniversary screening on film. The Search for Spock, I love that movie. I saw it when it came out in the theaters. It's awesome. I'm a big fan. I would recommend. I mean, I don't really remember. I was like 5 at the time, so I don't remember. I also saw Star Trek 4 in the theaters. That's the first one I remember seeing.
Oh, wow. Wait,
which one was 4?
With the whales.
Okay, I was going to say, with the whales.
And then the other movie is going to be David Lynch's Dune.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I'll be honest. I think that movie's bad. But it's bad in an awesome way.
It's so good.
To be fair, I think it's bad, and I bought it on Blu-ray because I want to watch it. Like, it's one of those movies I really enjoy watching, even though I don't think it's a very well done movie.
I kind of feel like if you're a Yodorowsky fan, you can't be a fan of Lynch's Dune. In my mind, Lynch's Dune is amazing. I love it the same way I love Krull.
Here's the thing. I like, actually, you know, there's like the director's cut.
Yeah,
I like the director's cut more than the
one that has
version.
Like the drawings in it. Yeah, pretty cool.
Anyways,
I don't think I've ever seen it.
So that is August 23rd. Doors are at 7:30. Show starts at 8. Admission is $15. Double feature, both on film, 35mm. So that's worth mentioning. Then there's a show coming up that I'm a little bit a part of, or at least it's a Joe show, so I'll probably be there. For those of you who know them and love them, Modern Life is War is coming to the church. I don't like that band.
I love that band.
Really?
Like,
are you a big Modern Life is War fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, but I love that band. I think that they're awesome.
So that's Friday, August 29th. Doors are at 6:30. Show's $16.
Give this plan.
I'm excited about Self Defense Family. Big ups to them. I like that band. Give is playing that show. I'm interested in that. And I hear that band Ringfinger that's opening the show is actually pretty good. I haven't heard them yet, but I hear good things about them.
Are they local?
Mostly, I think so. I don't know a whole lot about them, actually. I'm looking right now. There's a link on the page. I don't know anything about this band. They're from Newark, it looks like.
Oh.
I hear good things, though, so I want to check them out. I'm a big Self Defense Family fan. I'm a big Give fan, so I'm stoked on that show. Like I said, I don't care about Modern Life is War, but they're not bad. I don't think they're bad, but I just
think they're cool.
I'm unemotional. But you're not going to get a chance to see that band at the church very soon. I mean, that's a small venue for that show, so I highly recommend checking it out. I think we want to thank Sean for being here.
Thank you so much, Sean, for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We look forward to having you back so you become like our Baba Booey. Is that is that a thing?
I'm more intelligent than Baba Booey, though.
I wouldn't know. I don't listen to Howard Stern. I just pulled that.
When I was roofing, I listened to Howard Stern a lot. Not by choice.
He used to roof. That's why he's got that working class
tattoo. I get it now. It all makes sense. It all comes together.
He was very working class. Now he's the man, though.
Well done.
Yeah.
So, good transition.
Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate that people have checked us out. If you're a new listener, we thank you for checking us out.
Yeah.
And we hope you'll come back next time when we'll be discussing not a comic book movie. We keep talking about comic book stuff.
God, because we're nerds.
We're going to talk about Tarkovsky.
Tarkovsky. No. Here's what I want to do for the next
episode. I know you love Tarkovsky. What is the next episode?
I would like to discuss the difference between a film and a movie on the next episode.
I don't give a fuck about that.
That's a good discussion to have.
Why is that?
Because
I don't think there's a difference. I think that's a
beautiful opinion that we're going to argue about.
Oh, God. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, we are.
We're announcing it on the air, and it's not going to happen. Tune in next time for our Tarkovsky episode.
And we'll discuss the difference between films and movies.
Or Josh will.
Thanks for listening.
Smoke bomb!
Hit it.